So we've got Rosh here, which is really exciting. Let's give Rosh a really British welcome. A good old-fashioned clap. We are looking at the practices of Jesus, which is all about what we've been pressing into today, which is a place of continual posture for connectedness with God. And if we look and examine the way Jesus lived his life, there were certain things that the Spirit led him to do, which enabled that connectedness. And today we'll be looking at fasting, which is very specifically in the Bible abstaining from physical food. We can make it lots of other things, but the actual biblical definition of fasting is abstaining from physical food in order for greater clarity and so on. Well, Rosh will explain. So let's pray for him and receive the breakthrough revelation that we know you want to bring to us today. God, I thank you for that you lived on earth and you showed us how to live. You showed us what true, new, normal humanity looks like, and that you are just the perfect role model for life on earth. And so we want to learn from you, and we kneel at the feet of Rosh here, who's been working on this and sitting in this area, and we receive what you want to say to us about fasting through this. And we command breakthrough revelation for each one of us. We command it today. We take that territory today with open and humble heart posture. Amen.
Hello. Okay, that worked. Hi, my name is Rosh. Me and my wife, Joy. We moved here from India 2 years ago. So people asked why Bristol, but actually Bristol chose us, I think, and which is why we are here. So when I hear the word fasting, I feel it's one of those practices of Jesus that I wish he didn't do. Like, you know, I wish he did like gardening or baking or something, right? But then he chose to fast, right? And if there's one thing that I'm really good at, it is the, getting this to work. Okay, it doesn't work. All right. So there's one thing that I'm really good at, as is evident, it is feasting, right? That single vowel, which is very dangerous, right? Which is I'm really, really good at. However, when I got this opportunity to speak 2-3 months back and I prayed about it, God very clearly told me, son, it's time to learn about fasting. And it is a paradigm shift, really, that I had to learn what it actually meant. And I'm hoping that today I can convey some of what God has taught me over the last few months, and how relevant it is to actually our faith. So to do that, though, I have to start with the basics, which is fasting is very simply to abstain from some or all kind of food, whether for religious purpose or otherwise. You know that people protest socially against the government going for hunger strikes? That is fasting. We decide to go vegan. I'm not saying that's fasting, but that is abstaining from a certain type of food, which is there in the Bible, if you guys didn't know. If you guys know what Daniel did, he abstained from meat and bread, and he ate only vegetables, and poor man, but that's what he did. And so it is there in the Bible. But the whole point of fasting is to take a certain time where you do not eat or not eat a certain type of thing, right? And so I'm from India, right? And I know that fasting is prevalent in India. It is rampant in the sense. So say Hinduism, which is the prevalent religion in my country. People fast every day for something. Like they fast either by drinking only water or not eating certain kinds of things. For them, not eating meat is a fast sometimes. So you always have seasons where people are fasting. I grew up in the Middle East, so there was this period of 50 days, 40 days, Ramzan, where we weren't allowed to eat outside. We had to hide and eat inside the home because it is a period of fasting for them. Judaism, I will speak about a bit later. Buddhism, Chinese religions, everywhere there is fasting in some shape or form, right? Even from a secular perspective, I don't know if you know, in a gym, those trying to lose weight might sympathize with me. There's intermittent fasting. There are so many words that are thrown around. And so fasting is quite prevalent. So the question that I had first was, there is so much we know in the world about fasting, But if Christianity does not teach me anything new about fasting, then this is my sermon. Thank you. We can all go home. Right? Which is because if Christianity did not teach me something new, then there's no point talking about all this. And the amazing thing is, Christianity teaches us a lot. Take a practice of, say, communion. Jesus never spoke about communion, but yet we follow it regularly. Right? Jesus spoke about fasting specifically 3 times. That is more than most of the things that he spoke about that we practice. However, we don't really like fasting because it's difficult. Like, I know. Like, it's very hard. However, there's a lot to learn. So to understand what the Bible has to teach us about fasting, we obviously have to go to the Old Testament. And the Old Testament, so essentially, the whole premise of what I'm trying to teach or talk about for the next 15, 20 minutes is, what does Christianity teach us about fasting? And to do that, we have to go to the Old Testament. Because guess what? People fasted throughout the Bible. Right? So there are certain themes that I'll just like to speak about. But the first thing, or the first type of fasting people did, was they fasted to seek forgiveness from God. Right? So what does that mean? So when Moses went up Mount Sinai, I think, and he came down with the Ten Commandments, the gene code for all Christians, he found that Aaron and the rest of them had built false gods and they had forgotten about God. So Moses had fasted 40 days and nights and he had come down, right? And he saw this, he got so angry and so sad, he went back up and he fasted again for 40 days, asking God, can you please forgive your people? Can you please forgive? Right? When Jonah went to Nineveh, Nineveh is that town, you know that, and the people, and the king heard, they all went and fasted and cried. Even the animals did not get anything to eat. Poor things. It's not their fault. Right? But they asked for forgiveness. And it's a very common theme. Whenever people ask for forgiveness in the Old Testament, they fast. Right? And the second thing is in times of sickness or death. Most importantly, David, man after God's own heart. When David's son was dying, he fasted. He was almost delusional. He fasted. He wouldn't eat. And he asked God, God, can you please heal my son? It didn't happen. And David knew what it meant. He knew the sovereignty of God, but he still did it. Also, when King Saul died, you know, the man who was pursuing David for many years, even when Saul died, the whole kingdom fasted, but David also fasted. Because it is associated with mourning. The third one, in times of war or great distress. The classic example is Esther. Esther and Mordecai. So Esther, when she was going to make a petition to the king, she said, I might not live after this, but I want you, the Jewish people, to come together and fast absolutely for 3 days. Absolutely means without food or water. Literally in a state of no food at all. And pray. And we all know what is the outcome of that. The people saved and all of that. And lastly, to seek God's will in their lives. Throughout the Old Testament, when people did not know what to do, they asked God, can you please tell us? A very good example again is going back to Mount Sinai, when Moses went up, he fasted 40 days and God revealed to him the 10 things his people must do, which we still follow today. So as I say, in the Old Testament, fasting is meant to afflict your soul. So afflicting your soul means basically take something and hit, right? Like, it's like literally, I cannot use the word, that word in church, I think, but guess what I'm trying to say? It's almost meant to make your soul hurt, right? And I don't know about you guys, but not eating food makes my soul hurt, right? So you have these four basic themes in the Old Testament where people used to fast. And then what happened was, whenever Jerusalem fell, the people commemorated a day of fasting to remember. Right? To remember. So God has only called for one type of fasting or one day of fasting, the 10th day of the 7th month or July the 10th, where all the Jews are meant to fast for one day. But what happened in Jerusalem is, if you read Judges and Samuel and all that, Jerusalem kept falling. Jerusalem would fall to Babylon, Jerusalem would fall to someone else, or something else would happen, and they would have to keep going on the cycle. So what happened is they had so many days of remembrance for fasting. The Pharisees and I don't know what the rest happened. They decided to commercialize it. What they ended up doing is they said, you know what, we have so many days of fasting. Let's just do it like we fast 2 days a week. So all the Pharisees would fast 2 days a week. I think it's Mondays and Thursdays. And not only would they fast, they would have this outwardly appearance of fasting. Right? The way I understand it is back in India, there's this particular time where the devotees of a certain god, they dress themselves in all black. And they don't wear sandals. They grow their hair and their beard. They have certain markings and they wrap a shawl around them. And for 1 month, they're meant to walk towards a certain pilgrimage. So if I saw these people even from the moon, I would know it is that time of the year. Right? Because they would physically, their physical appearance would be very obvious that they are in this period of fasting. So in the same way, the Pharisees, the general public, you knew on Monday and Thursday that they were fasting. You knew it. And it is in this context that the Pharisees and the followers of John the Baptist, they come to Jesus and ask him, okay, we fast, why do you not fast? Right? And this is critical. This is the first time Jesus ever spoke about this. Because he was confronted. Right? And the first time Jesus was asked about it, Jesus, he spoke about it very, very, very clearly. So in the book of Matthew 9, 14 to 7, I think it's Mark, sorry. There's a question on fasting, whereby they come and ask him, we fast, why do you not fast? It's very important. They didn't just ask him, why do you not fast? They asked him, we fast, so you claim to be this big dude, great healer, why do you not fast? And Jesus very simply said, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The day will come when the bridegroom is taken away. And that has obviously happened. And see what he said then. And then they will fast. It's like they may fast. They can choose to fast. Then they will fast. Right? And in the same sentence, he goes on to say something, which is, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, nor is new wine poured into an old wineskin. What does Jesus mean? He obviously meant the whole thing in one context. So he's telling the Pharisees, you guys fast, great, good for you. However, when I go away, my people will fast. But they will not fast the way you do it. Right? This is very important because no one puts new wine in old wineskin because it'll burst. No one puts unshrunk cloth into something new because it will not last. Therefore, Jesus very categorically is saying, in the Old Testament, you had these ways, you have your customs, you have your rituals. Great. However, my people is not going to fast like this. Right? My people, and it's very, something I did not know. Like, I can't believe I've been a Christian for so many years. I didn't know this. But, you know, there's a time for everything. I took this learning and I thought, okay, I'm going to fast. Right? So 3 months ago, I thought, let me try this wonderful experiment. Whereas I signed up for the Bath Half Marathon, right? I thought I'm going to fast, spend some time in the Word. I'm going to exercise, come actually looking physically thin, right? Nothing happened, right? And to just make it very clear to me, I'm not saying that it's not because of me. I remember the week before the marathon, I felt really ill that 2.5 months. I had a great start to my fasting days, and exercise. I was in like really, really gung-ho about it, and I felt horribly sick. I've never felt this sick my whole life. Bless English winter, right? I felt really, really sick. 2.5 months of ear pain. I don't know what not. I couldn't do anything. I had to stay in bed. And I came out of that period very, very, very broken. Because I said, God, I meant to do this for you. Right? God, I meant to do this for you, but yet I have spent all this time just curled, crying. I can't believe what I'm doing. So I remember there was this one prayer Sunday. I think I was sitting in one of those chairs there. I said, God, okay, I'm really, really broken, but I want to take this brokenness and give it to you. Can you please teach me something about this? Can you please teach me why we have this? Like, so I think God was waiting for my willing teachable spirit. So in that 1 week is when I literally wrote this whole thing. Where God said, son, you fast. You can fast 40 days, but it's not about you. It's about me. Right? And that's very important. Like, I thought I'll come here as a conquered hero and stand here and said, I can do it. So can all of you. Right? God doesn't care for all that. Right? God really doesn't care. What God really wanted was for us to understand, or for me to understand, that if I have to fast, I really have to fast because I want to see more of Him in my life. I want Him to have a bigger space in my life. Rather, this pastry that I'm longing for, I cast it aside and satiate myself with the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? It took me a lot of time to understand this. Like, how do I find nourishment through something that has no calories? Right? How do I do it? Like, it's not possible in me. Like, for me, technically, that's not possible. But then, God is a supernatural God. And if anyone tells you otherwise, he does not know our God. Right? He can fill us supernaturally. And this thing that, the satiety, like, I know we talk about food, but a lot of us fast for other things. It can be social media. Some of us might have this amazing affliction to know what that celebrity is doing on Instagram. Right? Like, I don't know, it's a good test. Like, if you put on a table, like, you don't eat for 10 hours, and you put food, and you put a phone, and you put a piece of chocolate, right? And ask yourself, what is that one thing that I want to do first? That one thing I have to do. Yeah, it can be porridge, it can be a piece of chocolate, or it can be a Facebook feed, right? That one thing that your heart really yearns to do is the biggest distraction in your life, right? I learned that food is the biggest distraction, but social media is a close second, right? So I had to try and get rid of all of it, right? And so suddenly you have this space, or you have this time when you would have spent scrolling through your Facebook feed. What do you do now, right? It's that big blank space. What do you do now? And what do you do then is you basically ask God, okay, tell me, right? I did this for you. Now tell me, what should I do? And it'll take a couple of attempts, but he will really pour his Spirit to you. When you ask yourself, God, teach me. Like, I'm a broken man. I'm a broken, broken person. I have this pride that I don't want. Can you please take it away? And can you please tell me something that I don't know about you? And it takes some time, but we'll get there. So essentially, the remaining things that I'm saying is basically what I've learned and what I've read. I had to read a few books and what God has revealed to me over the last 2-3 months. Which is very simply what I just mentioned. Our fasting must center on a hunger for God. Right? It has to like think of that most amazing, the way I do it, because food is my primary opponent. Right? I think of that amazing pastry, that amazing experience that I had. And I ask God, okay, I'm not going to have this, but can you fill me up instead? Right? I remember the first time I fasted 2 years ago, and I did like a 24-hour fast. We did it as part of our life group in church. So when we spoke about fasting, and we said, okay, let's do it. But the way we did it is we said, 9 o'clock today till 9 o'clock tomorrow, let's fast. But tomorrow, 9 o'clock, you will get this big pot of biryani. Does anyone know what biryani is? It's this Indian concoction of chicken and rice, which is, people will kill each other for it, right? It's amazing, right? And we were promised this big pot of biryani if you can stay away from food for 24 hours, right? It's a very practical thing to do because, you know, you have something to look forward to. You wake up in the morning, you want your breakfast, I'll eat that much more biryani, right? Come to lunch, oh, I wish I had this. No, I'll just eat that much more, right? But the thing is, at least thankfully, in my hunger, I turned to Jesus. Right? God, I'm really hungry. Can you fill me up? Right? And come 9 o'clock the next day, and I promise that is the smallest portion of biryani I had in my whole life. Right? Like, I went in expecting to eat so much, but I took a little bit from my plate and said, God, I'm full. You have taught me to be full. Then I obviously forgot about it. Then I had to come here and learn it again. Right? But that's the thing with God, right? He is a pursuant God. Right? You may turn your face away and do the most stupidest things, but God is there. It's fine. Come back to me. Right? And that is the amazing, amazing love of our God. Right? We say the reckless love of God. I find it hard to say reckless, but it's that perfect love of God. Right? That we have to experience it, right? Psalm 34 verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? And this is written by David. And David is running away from Saul. Saul wants to literally kill him. Right? So Saul is pursuing him and David is hiding in the mountains. Or he's gone to kings. He's asked for people for refuge. They've all rejected him. Right? He's gone to a hill and he's writing this, taste and see that God is good. David did not go up to a tree, take a bite and said, oh, this needs more salt, but it's okay. I've tasted and seen that this is good. No. What he did is, he understood that there is much more than a metaphor. You have to literally taste, take a bite of the Spirit of Jesus. Right? And I've been doing this by myself. I think Joy has been thinking I'm crazy, but I'm trying to practice what it means to take a bite of the Spirit of God. It might sound it obviously looks a bit funny, but the whole point is, like, you know, sometimes just act funny for God, right? Right. Second and the most important thing is fasting has to be voluntary. In the sense, I know that we have a period of Lent for 40 days where, okay, let's do fasting. Like when I grew up, we used to get calendars from our church. Right, these calendars are very simple, basic black and white calendars. But the month of Lent, it was in red. Right? So when I turned to that month of Lent, I knew that day for dinner there is not going to be fish curry. Right? It's very saddening. Right? And also, I don't know about you guys, but all the problems in my life, they evenly happen across the year. Right? If any of you have problems that happen only in 40 days of fasting, please come and find me. I would like to know the secret. But all my problems happen evenly across the year. And therefore, we have to find time during the year to voluntarily find a time for fasting. No one is saying fast for the whole year. Not even Jesus had to do it. Get it? There has to be a specific time. It has to be a practice of our life. It has to be almost a routine like breathing. Right? This is another thing that Jesus said. It must not be self-seeking. The second thing Jesus said about fasting is, when you fast, don't let anyone see. Right? Don't do anything different to your face or your makeup or your hairstyle. Come out like you would have eaten a good plate of biryani. Happy and content. Right? But when you fast, fast in secret. So that your Father in secret will reward you. Right? Your Father will not take a loudspeaker and say it. Your Father in secret will reward you. I find that amazing. Because, you know, when it's like, you know, sometimes you ask God, God, why do you not speak to me? Then God speaks to you in the quietness of your spirit. Right? Like in that tender whisper. That is what God is. Because in the secret, He will reveal Himself to you. The fourth thing. Fourth thing is the last thing Jesus said, which is fasting must always be accompanied by prayer. So I'm not saying that if you fast for 6 hours, you have to literally pray for 6 hours. What I'm saying is, if you say on a normal day, pray for 15 minutes a day, if you have taken a day to fast, at least try and pray for 16 minutes. Get it? You have to try and pray a little bit more, because that is the whole point. And even Jesus says you should do it, because there is a verse, I think in Mark again, where there is this boy who is possessed with the evil spirit, and the disciples try and heal the boy, and they can't. And then they wake up Jesus. Jesus says, ugh. And Jesus heals the child. And then he says, there are some things that you have to do with fasting and prayer. Right? And therefore, not only do we have to pray for God's will, we also have to pray and fast in God's will. So like literally God has told you, there are some things that you have to fast and pray. That makes sense? So it is like, and how do I define that? I'll probably take that towards the end. Yeah, and the fifth thing, very importantly, fasting must lead to some sort of repentance. Like if you did 12 hours of fasting and if you did not do much or any repentance, you probably need to go and see the method in which you're doing it. Because everyone, all the church leaders, all the great leaders of Christianity, even apostles, Paul, Peter, all of them have said, or written, that fasting leads to a form of repentance. Because you see, when you stay hungry, you get angry. Right? When you get angry, then you decide to get impatient. Once you get impatient, you become anxious. When you get anxious, you suddenly have no time for anyone else in this world. All of these are symptomatic, right? And if you take a time to recognize that, and then maybe pray against it, right? That is also what fasting is meant to achieve, right? And it also has to lead to humility. That is where I went really, really wrong. I thought that I could be this cool dude to stand here and say, I can do it. But God had to break me to teach me humility. To say that fasting, it's not a big deal. It's a big deal to me. So come back to me. Don't let your pride swell up because you decided to fast. Right? The sixth thing is also another thing that I had to learn the hard way. Which is, fasting must not be done as a debt. What do I say when I mean that? Like, sometimes when I pray, I say, God, I spent these 6 hours for you. Now it's your time to show the money. Right? It's your time to do. Right? I did this for you. Now it's your time. But God is like, God does not owe us anything. Right? God does not owe us a single thing. And yet he chose to give us his son. And we know the rest of the story. Right? And therefore, God is not indebted to us in any way. I had to learn that the hard way. It's like a slap across your face. Like, wow. I'll remember this. I'll remember that slap really well. Because God really taught me something very, very valuable. Because I said, God, I did this, I did this, I did this. And you did nothing. Like, you did nothing. And God literally told me, I didn't have to. I don't have to. Right? But he still does. Because God reveals over and over and over to us that he is a good father that loves to give gifts to those who love him. Right? But he's also worried about our heart. Our heart has to be in the right place. And that is also why fasting is so great. It's so, you know, the harder the practice, the greater or the most wonderful result it is. And the seventh bit, which is fasting, is about relying on God's strength. I would like to say a story very quickly. Do I have 5 minutes? Maybe not. Okay. It's very simply this. Like, if you're done Alpha Youth, you might have known this. The story is very simply about a kid playing in a sandpit. You know, kids play in a sandpit, right? So the kid is playing in a sandpit. The father's inside. He's keeping an eye on the child, right? But the father then turns his face away or does something busy. And the child finds a big rock in his sandpit, right? He finds this big rock in the sandpit and he's like, oh, where did this come from? And he's trying to push it. But in the process of doing that, he gets hurt. Then the father hears the son crying. He comes running to him, takes him in his hand. And the father asks, what happened? And the son said, Daddy, I saw this big rock that in the middle of my pit. I tried to really push, but I tried with all my strength, but it didn't move. So that time the father looked at the son and said, no, my son, you did not ask me. That makes sense? Maybe? I tried with all of my strength, but I couldn't do it. But then the father turns around and says, no, my son, you did not ask me. And therefore, for a Christian, to do something with all your strength is to turn around and ask God, can you help me with this? Right? Like, and I had to learn it very difficultly because God, I'm really hungry. God, please, please do something. Take away this hunger. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. The whole point is, I'm slowly learning to rely on God as I practice to fast. Right? And that is a petition to all of us. Try. The last bit, essentially what I'm trying to, or that is mentioned in all the authors, is you fast for a long-awaited breakthrough. Right? What I mean when I say that is, the way I define something is, if I close my eyes and I see that I have this problem that I'm really having to deal with, this mountain that I cannot climb, this unassailable thing that I'm struggling with, right? On the outside, I may be okay. I'm talking to people. Everything is great. But on the inside, it's rumbling. I'm really struggling with it. Like, I've tried so many times to do so many things, but nothing works, right? If you are that person today, can I encourage you to look at fasting as a method to overcome this breakthrough? If you have never tried, it's very easy. Literally pick a window, pick a day, and stay away from food. And when you get hungry, pray. When you get hungry, pray. You get hungrier, pray. You get the drift, right? And once you do that, you ask God. So fasting really at the end of it, how I would like to end for it, what I'm doing right now, I'm praying for a breakthrough in my life, and therefore I fast. So if I can encourage you, if you would like some prayer or something that you would like to learn, I would encourage you to use fasting because it's a very, very powerful tool, right? If you look at the history of all the church fathers, John Wesley, Martin Luther, all the Scottish missionaries, all the people who really made a difference for God, their primary tool was fasting. And they used it to achieve a lot of breakthrough. So if I can encourage you as I end, sorry I'm 5 minutes over late, which if you guys have anything that, I don't know, you're looking for a breakthrough in your life, if you'd like some prayer or if you'd like to talk about it with someone, I encourage you guys to come forward as maybe Duncan leads us in a song. And at the same time, if you have any other questions on fasting, it's a very, very vast subject. I've had to cut down quite a bit. But if you have anything else to ask, happy to take your questions. So that's basically the practice of Jesus, fasting. Thank you.
Fantastic. I absolutely agree. It's a gift we're given to see extraordinary breakthrough. So we just ask the Lord, don't we? What is it for us? Is there an area in our life that we want to see breakthrough? Is this a way that he would want to have that? In terms of the spirit of secrecy, it can be helpful to be accountable with people we just trust, but still remain that spirit of humility. We're not doing this to be more spiritually sort of kind of bravado or anything, but just have that covering. I'm going to pray now as we worship that we hear God very clearly for ourselves. God, I thank you that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to fast, and you lead us every day, every moment. You have a plan for us. And so I pray we can be sensitive to what the plan is. And so we bring you that area in our life where we want to see the breakthrough and the change. And we ask you what it looks like for us to contend for that in fasting and prayer, that you just show us, you open that door for us, that when you bring a word, it releases the grace to do something that we couldn't do before we heard your word. And so we release your word into our hearts to do the thing to bring the breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, that you reward us when we come to you.